Okay, good morning everybody. Boker Or. We are in Parashat Toldot. There is a lot to talk about it, of course, but I want to understand the point of view, what's happening in our Parsha, when we're talking about Yaakov, with calling the pillar of truth, Amud HaEmet, Yaakov. And it's very strange. Why? Because if we'll think about it, if we had to choose the pillar of truth, Yaakov wouldn't be exactly the first choice. And especially in our parasha. First of all, he buys the Bechora for a stew or something like that. Is this like this red soup? And he buys the Bechora for this. Then he steals the blessing of his brother. And he does it in a very... there's nothing to talk about, you know. This is really, he's lying to his father. He's cheating his father.
Amen.
But you have encouraged
him. Okay.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Then
we want to understand there are very interesting points in our parsha. Says, it's written, Vayehav Yitzchak et Esav ki tzayit befiv verivka ohevet et Yaakov. In English, Yitzchak loves Esav and Rivka loves Yaakov. And we ask ourselves, I want to understand, those parents which are tzaddikim, they love one and the other one they don't love? It's unbelievable. Then why is Rivka trying to cheat her husband and takes the blessing from Esav to Yaakov? And another question, is Yitzchak senile? Why does he want to bless this Rasha Esav and not Yaakov? Then, at the end...
Husband,
that's what he's saying. Why is she's cheating him and not even... Rivka, you are a couple, you are one. Talk with your husband. Come to Yaakov. Yaakov, I think you do it. Yitzchak, I think you're doing a mistake. No. Then, at the end of the parsha, when we get to the point of Esav not getting the bracha, understanding that he lost the bracha, Esav is crying. Like, this is a description that you don't see in the Bible a lot. Now, what was so terrible in missing the blessing? What is Esav such a tzaddik that he wants the blessing of his father? What could be a blessing of his father? A spiritual blessing. Why does Esav need this blessing at all? And you know what? Okay, you missed it. So he's so upset about it that the Torah is saying me'od. Then, what is frightening Yitzchak when he sees Esav and realizes that he gave the blessing by mistake to Yaakov? He also says vayichrat charada gdola ad me'od. Also, he got frightened, very frightened. A lot of questions. Yes.
No. How could Yitzchak not have known what he was doing? He had Ruach HaKodesh.
That's another question. Say, we look at the parasha, we read, Yitzchak looks like this Sinai. He doesn't know who is in front of him. He's by mistake blessing one son and not the other. Why?
I thought he was blind. Yeah.
And if he was blind? You know, when you're blind, you have your other senses. And in a minute we will see, he's using all his senses. This is one of the things he's doing, which is again taking the question at a higher level. So if you already hugged him and did all everything and heard him and you know something is a result, you said, Akol kol Yaakov yadayim yedei Esav. So what's going on here? Okay. First of all, in order to make, because you see, a lot of people ask this question, because the Torah is like really putting Yaakov in a very bad position. And then they tell Yaakov is our father. Yaakov is the one that he is the whole. He is the, let's say, the best of all the fathers, because he is the combination of Avram and Yitzchak, and from him Am Yisrael comes out. And this doesn't make sense. First of all, we have to understand what is truth. The Rav Dessler says, truth is when it serves the right side. The truth, the side of truth. Lie is when it serves evil, when it serves the bad side, the wrong side. In a minute we will see and understand. That's why Yaakov is the symbol of truth. Now let's understand how we get to this. So first of all, he is buying the Bechorah for a bowl of soup. How is this possible? Is this really a sale? Is it considered a sale? If somebody buys something that is worth fortune for nothing, this is not a sale. But let's imagine to ourselves that I have something that for me it's worth nothing, but for somebody else it's worth a lot. And it happens. And it happens a lot. For example, let's say we have a phone. And our phone is a new model. We replace the phone, we have a new model. And we have the shield and all the other stuff from the old model. For us, it's worth now nothing. Somebody comes to us, he's got the old model. He just bought it now, he wanted a cheap phone for who knows what. Doesn't matter. And he needs this shield. He needs all those things that I have for the old phone. For me, it's nothing. For him, it's a lot. So, what do I do? If I sell it for nothing, I'm stupid. Now, if I sell it for a lot, is it a sale or not?
No.
Why not?
Because
for him, it's worth a lot.
I know, but
it is a sale. It is a sale. Why? Because in life, what's the worth of it is in your eyes. If something is worth, for example, diamond. Look at a diamond. You know, people in Africa, they call the, like those peasants, they don't care about our diamonds. For them, it's nothing. But we, for us, diamonds is very important. And is it really important?
No.
No. So in other words, the value of stuff is not exactly how much it costs. So now let's see what's going on here. The Torah tells, Vayivaz Esav et ha-bchora. For him, the bchora is nothing. He doesn't want it. Nevertheless, when he realizes that bchora is something with worshipping God, he doesn't want to do it. So when he is offered this stew, he didn't really sell it for the stew. He didn't want it. He was more than happy to get rid of this obligation, exactly. In other words, it is a sale. Because he would given his bchora even for nothing. Because he doesn't want it. Now let's go on and understand what's going on here from the point of view of Rivka, from the point of view of Yitzchak, from the point of view of Yaakov, and from the point of view of Esav. What's going on here? Okay, so let's see. Unbelievable things in our parsha, but we cannot talk about everything. Okay. It starts like this. Vayehi ki zakan Yitzchak. Yitzchak got old. Vatikena enav mirot. And he didn't see so good. And by the way, it's not written that he's blind.
He just couldn't see right.
Like he's got, it doesn't look, he needs glasses. Let's put it this way. And those times didn't have glasses, so what can we do? ויקרא את עשיו בנו הגדול, and he calls Esav his son and tells him, you see, I'm getting old, I don't know when I'm going to die, you take your tools, go and bring me something from the field and prepare it, a good, like food that I love, and you know how to do it. Bring it to me, I'll eat, and I will bless you before I die. Rivka, Shoma, Rivka is listening and hearing what's going on. Esav is going to hunt, and Rivka tells Yaakov, "Ine shamati et avicha medaber el Esav achicha." Here I listened, I heard your father talking to your brother Esav. And he's asking him to bring food, to bring a hunt, to hunt something and bring to him and eat, and he's going to bless him. V'atap nishma bekoli. Listen to me. Kasher ani metzava otchach. I'm ordering you. It's not a request, it's an order. Go to the field, bring me two lambs or whatever that they had there, and I'll prepare it. And you give it to your father, the father is going to bless you. Vayomer Yaakov el Rivka, my mother, I'm sorry. No, I'm not exactly, I don't look like Esav. And Esav is very hairy, and I've got no hair. And Esav achi ish sair, ve'anochi, ish chalak, ulay musheni avi. My father will touch me, and he will realize on the spot that I am not Esav. ותבוא אליי קללה, and instead of getting a blessing, I will get cursed. Says his mother, no problem. When you bring those sheep from the thing, I'm going to skin them, and I'm going to put on your arms the hair with the skin, and when the father is going to touch you, he will see this is Esav. Okay.
That's stupid, though.
This whole story, you have to understand, when we're talking about, we always say, this is not a story. This is something to teach us a lesson for today. People sometimes think that those are, hey, what nice stories we have in Bereshit. Those are not stories. The story is only the surface. There is so many things inside, in every world, by the way. And now, it's also saying, if Yitzchak is going to curse you, the curse is going to be on me. Everything looks very strange. Okay. So she puts it on his hands and also here, because if his father is going to hug him or thing, he's going to feel that he's very hairy. And she gives him the food she prepared, and he comes to his father. Vayomer Avi, father. Vayomer Ineni. Here I am. Who are you? Who are you? Well, he's got 200 sons. He's got two sons. Well, he doesn't recognize who is it, which one of his sons it is.
Can't he tell on the voice? Vayabo el aviv, vayomer aviv, merinini miyat abni,
vayomer Yaakov el aviv, anochi esav bechorocha, asiti kashet, I am, and if some say a psik, Esav is your oldest, and he's not lying, like he's saying, ani, me, Esav is your oldest. But I'm not, it doesn't say easy. Okay. Asiti kasher, I did what you said. Please sit and eat and bless me. Vayomer Yitzchak el bno, ma ze mihart lo? I just sent you 2 minutes ago, and you already put, you hunted already, you cooked it and prepared food. It's too quickly. Ma mihart limtzovni? Vayomer kikra Hashem elokecha lefanecha. God, put it in front of me. And you have to understand, Esav doesn't mention God. And this guy is mentioning God every minute. So Yaakov is saying, come here. I want to touch you. In other words, Yitzchak realizes something here is not 100%.
Can we go back to...
Yes. Well,
when Yaakov, Yitzchak says, please come and sit and eat some of my game, mitzedi. That's an outright lie. He didn't get game. His mother cooked goats. It wasn't venison.
There is a lot to talk about here. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, because the whole thing looks like a big lie.
I agree.
And in a minute we'll understand what's going on here, because you see, the point is, and we'll understand it at the end. that lying is not always a lie. It's very important to understand it. Because in life, we get to positions when we can tell the truth and it's going to damage, to do a tremendous damage. And from the other side, if we lie, it's going to make so much good. God himself, when he comes to Abraham, he says, why did Sarah laugh? He doesn't say him that Sarah laughed because he is old. Because Abraham is old. She tells him, why is Sarah laughing, saying she is old? Which is not exactly what she said. She said, the Adoni Zaken, and my master is old, like Abraham is old. How can he give birth? He's old, hasn't got the power anymore. But God is not saying this, he's changing. So they say he changed because of Shlom Bayit. So we see the point of truth and lie is not so as we think. You know, you have all those righteous people. I'm just telling the facts. And we're telling the facts. They do so much evil. Because you know, there are two sides to a coin. And you can look at it from both sides. You have like a glass. This glass is half empty. But it's also half full. Now, I can say it's half empty, and I'm saying truth. Say, it's empty. What is empty? I see the half that is empty. But there is also the half that is full. So I'm not lying. But I'm not telling all the truth, or I'm looking it from my point of view. If somebody wants to do something, you know, we always look for excuses. If we want to do it, we find the right excuse to do it. If we don't want to, the same thing. We will find the right excuse not to do it. So what is true and what is a lie? It depends. And that's the problem. Okay. So it looks like Yitzchak realizes something here is wrong. So he calls him, I want to touch you. Ataz ibn Esav, is it you really, Esav? Or not? So 1 minute. So we see that it's not so clear. Vayigash Yaakov l'Yitzchak aviv v'yimishehu. And Yitzchak, and Yaakov, comes to Yitzchak, and he's touching him. Vayomer, akol kol Yaakov. In other words, when he hears Yaakov, he knows it's Yaakov.
You can tell him his voice.
Because he hears its voice. Vehayadaim yedei Esav. He wanted to be sure, but the hands are like Esav. He says, what's going on here? And he blesses him. 1 minute. He's not blessing him yet. You already asked him. You already touched him. Why are you asking again? Because you are, after all this, you're still not sure. Vayomer ani. He doesn't say I'm Esav now. He says, it's me. ויאמר הגישה לי ואוכלה מצאת בני למען דברך נפשי. Bring me the food, I'm going to eat and I'm going to bless you. ויאמר לא אין ואשת ויאמר אליו יצחק אביו. He's not blessing him yet. He finishes eating and then what is he doing? קשנה ושקל אבני, come and kiss me my son. In other words, יצחק is using all his senses to understand who is this guy standing in front of me. Is it Yaakov or is it Esav? So he comes to him, and now listen to this unbelievable thing that is happening. Vayigash vayishaklo, vayarach et reach begadav, and he smells his clothes. Vayevarcheu vayomar, re'e reach bni kereach asade asher berecho Hashem. The smell of my son is like the field that God blessed. In other words, he realizes, I don't care who this is. He has to get the blessing. Because the smell I'm smelling is the smell of Gan Eden. In other words, you know, this is Yitzchak. He's connected to God. He says, if this is the smell of Gan Eden, it means that this guy has to get the blessing. Because otherwise, I wouldn't smell the reich of Gan Eden. I would smell a stink. That we will see what's happening when Esav comes in. There is another interesting point. We are sure that the blessing that Yitzchak is going to give to Yaakov is a blessing of spiritual thing. But when we see this blessing, it's all materialistic thing. God is going to give you all the good of this world and his blessing. Vayetze Yaakov. Yaakov gets out and ויהי אח יצא יעקב מאת פני יצחק אביו ועשיו אחיו בא מצדו. One is coming, going out, the other one is coming from the other side. ויעז גם הוא מתמים, and he prepares the food, and he comes to his father and says, ויאמר לאביו, יקום אבי. Now, look how Esav is talking. He's not saying, ויקום נא, please get up. Get up, father. This is Esav, not יעקב. ויוכל, and eat from what I gave, what I brought for you. ויאמר לו יצחק אביו, מי אתה? Who are you? ויאמר, אני בנך בכורך עשיו, I am your oldest son, עשיו. And look what's happening now. ויחרד יצחק חרדה גדולה עד מאוד. He is getting the fright of his life. Now this יצחק went through a lot of things. Especially עקדת יצחק. And he was not frightened. And definitely not frightening like here. Here is frightened, more like unbelievable fright. He's in a shock. He's got a fright of his life. Charada gdola ad meod. And by the way, the same description ad meod we will see in a minute with Esav. Vayomer mi efo hu atzat tzai ve'aveh li va'ochal. Who is the guy who came before and I blessed him? And what is he saying? וגם ברוך יהיה. In other words, if he stole the blessing and he doesn't deserve it, what should Yitzchak say now? It's not going to happen. He doesn't deserve it. But what is Yitzchak saying? He got the bracha because he deserved it. I smelt it. I know he's the one, the right one. And then כשמוע עשיו את דברי אביו, when עשיו hears what his father is saying, ויצעק צעקה גדולה ומרה עד מאוד. The same description. He is in a shock. What's going on here? What is Yitzchak saying? That he wants to bless his evil son עשיו. And we have to understand, he knows exactly who Esav is. This is Yitzchak we're talking about. Not some senile old guy. This is Yitzchak Avinu. Connected to God, Olah Tmima. He knows exactly what's in front of him. So why does he want to bless Esav? And is it really that he's loving Esav and not loving Yaakov? And is it really that Rivka loves Yaakov and not Esav? Definitely not. So what's going on here? What is Yitzchak thinking? Yitzchak is thinking to himself. And by the way, this is one of the things that this world is built on. This world has to get to a level when people are going to sit and learn Torah and the goyim are going to provide. In other words, we are going to sit and learn, do mitzvahs, and the goyim, their mission in life will be to provide us in order. By the way, it's not only the goyim, that's the executive agreement of Yisachar and Zvulun. Yisachar sits and learns, and Zvulun goes out to provide, to give, bring parnosa. And Yitzchak thought that this is exactly the case, because he knows exactly who Esav is. He is a ish tzai. He is a man of the field. He is not this yeshiva bochel. He's not going to be a yeshiva bochel. So what do I do with him? How do I make things right? How do I make sure that both my sons are going to benefit and both my sons are going to be successful? He says, what I'm going to do, in order to put some Yiddishkeit in Esav, I will give him the power, the wealth, so he can provide, he can do what he likes, but on the way provides Yaakov his food and what he needs, and in this case I'm doing Yisachar and Zvulun, and both my children are benefiting out of it. He is getting rewarded, Esav, because of the learning of Yaakov, because he is supporting him, and Yaakov is being supported and he can sit and learn. Yes.
But Esav would get her panosa to support Yitzchak, or the Jews, but it's from immoral gains. He was an immoral person. He was a thief. He was a gangster.
Who said so?
He's a man of the field.
Yes. A man of the field. He's like you have two sons. One is suitable to be a scholar, and the other one is suitable to be a carpenter.
And what did Esav do on the day that he went hunting?
1 minute. That's exactly the point.
Okay.
We are not talking about the point of view of who?
Okay.
Of Yitzchak. But Rivka doesn't agree with this point of view. But now we understand why is Yitzchak doing what he's doing. He thinks, I'm going to do the best thing for who? For Esav or for Yaakov? For both of them. He loves both of them. So now let's see, why is Rivka preventing it? Because Rivka sees what Yitzchak didn't see. Rivka understands that if Esav, she listens to what Yitzchak wants to do and she realizes this is the end of both my sons. Both of them are going to lose. Why? Because Esav is a villain. And he's going to take all the money and all the stuff he's got and do what? Going to the casino, going to the whorehouse, and he's going to get lower than lower can get. He's going to be a criminal, even worse than what he is now, because he's got all the facilities. It's like you give a criminal money, or a junkie, you give a junkie money. What is he going to do with the money? Going to eat? Going to drink? No, he's going to buy drugs. So, and she thinks, what is Yitzchak doing? And what's going to happen? He's going to have all the power, and he's going to use the power also against his brother. Not only his brother won't have Parnosa, he's going to kill him. Because maybe he's going to get Shikr or what else, and who knows what he's going to do then. Even if they love each other. Because this is not exactly a love, as we say, a love without a fear of God is worth nothing. So Rivka realizes what Yitzchak doesn't realize. In other words, the beautiful thing what we see here, both parents love their children, but they see it from a different point of view, and we have to understand why. We talked about in the past, the power of the male is the outside power. The power of the woman is the inside power. In other words, what Yitzchak sees is the surface. He can see that he's got here Yaakov and Esav. And what he wants to do, he wants to find a combination. He wants to find a combination of combining both powers to get all the best out of it. So he thinks that Esav, talking with him nicely because he loves his father, and he loves his father, by the way, you have to understand, he honored his father, he did kibud avayim, unbelievable. So he says, there is something to work with. But Rivka sees the inside, and she understands and realizes that this guy, if he's going to get any more than what he's got now from the materialistic world, it's not only not helping him, it's going to damage him legamre, tremendously. It's going to be finished, because she sees the inside. And as HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram, listen to your wife, because she sees what's inside.
I always listen to my wife.
You see, the idea is very simple. It's a combination. And what the Torah is trying to tell us, there is a power, a female power and a male power. And by the way, each one of us got it. Women and men have the both powers. But in a woman, normally the power of the female is greater than the male power. And in a man, the male power is greater than the female. That's why sometimes we see women that act a little very manly, and we see men that act very womanly. And it doesn't have to do anything with being gay or not. It's just the powers inside of them. So what really talking is about powers and a lesson for us. We have to look at the picture, not only from the inside, also from the outside. Now we understand why Esav wants the blessing. Because he must think that his father is going to bless him with a spiritual blessing. What he doesn't understand is that there is no spiritual blessing. Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz miyirat shamayim. Everything is from God, but the fear of God is in your hand. You cannot get, I can help you if you want to go in this way, but if you don't go in this way, nothing is going to help you. So Esav wants what Bilam HaRasha wanted. Bilam HaRasha said, "Tamot nafshi mot yesharim v'tei achariti kamo." Bilam HaRasha knows there is a next world, but he wants to enjoy this world. So he wants to enjoy this world, doing all the naughty things, running with Yetzer Hara together, but he asking God, "Tamot nafshi mot yesharim." I want to die like the Jews. I want to have Olam Haba. And that's exactly Esav. Esav says, "I'm going to do whatever I want in this world. I am relying on my father's blessing. He is going to bless me, and I'm going to get the two worlds. I'm going to enjoy this world, and I'm going to get Olam Haba." But then he realizes it doesn't work like this. And by the way, this is the reason that in Ma'arat HaMachpelah, there's Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov,
and Adam and Chava.
Adam v'Chava, and Sarah, Rivka, v'Leah, and there is somebody else. But not a whole somebody. The head of Esav is also buried in Ma'arat. Only the head. Why only the head? Because people think that Esav was this villain with the how do you say those piercing and kakuim? How do you say kakuim? Tattoos on his body and with gold chains. No, Esav looked exactly like Yaakov. They both learned in the same school.
Esav was a redhead. Well, yeah, ginger. Yaakov wasn't ginger, was he?
But they wore the same clothes, the same kittel. They were the children of Yitzchak. What do you think? He would go with tattoos and that people imagined it, in other words. And he knew exactly from the point of view of Torah what Yaakov knows. But it was not connected. He had it in the head, but it was not connected to the body. Because in the body he wanted to run on all the things of the world, on all the naughty things, on all the bad things. But he knew. So his head, which had the Torah in, is buried in Ma'arat HaMachpelah to teach us that it's not enough to know, you have also to do, to act accordingly. Now, why does Yaakov want the blessing? Yaakov is the tzaddik. He doesn't need the blessing so much that he's going to hold this procedure. But Yaakov wanted this blessing for us. Because Yaakov maybe is tzaddik, is the greatest of all. But he knew that the generation that's going to come, you will have problems. And in order to have something to save us, he needed the blessing of Yitzchak. So now we saw a beautiful thing. This amazing story about stealing the blessing is not really stealing. It's not taking what you have to take in order to make things right, which is teaching us what is truth. Yaakov is the symbol of truth to tell us that the truth is not always seen on the outside. Sometimes it's inside, and we have to look for it. In other words, not everything we do and we call it truth is really true. Because if we're making a damage with telling things, by the way, there are certain things that you have to say, definitely, definitely. And you're not going to start lying. But you have to know to be clever enough. That's Yaakov. That's really Yaakov. Yaakov is not really lying if we go through the and read it in the way we want to read it. He is, let's say, I don't know how we say it in English, he's playing around with the words. He's playing around in order to get to the point. In other words, if we have to lie, don't try to do it in the truth way. If there is no other option, sometimes, yes, sometimes you have to lie in order to bring peace and truth to the world. And definitely, sometimes you have to keep quiet. Because sometimes, you know what, I don't want to lie. Okay, you don't want to lie? At least, don't talk, don't speak. Because some facts to look to you is for example, and that's we are over the time, but I have to tell you, there was this guy on Shabbos, and he was a yeshiva bocher, and his friend sees him going on in taxi on Shabbos, couldn't believe it, on taxi on Shabbos. Now he runs to the yeshiva, tells you know this tzaddik, he goes and he drives a car on Shabbos, and he finished him. Everybody was starting talking. This Gish drives a car on Shabbos. And do you know what the truth was? It was an emergency. But he didn't know about it. So in other words, even if we see something, and it is true, but 1 minute, maybe. It's because you don't see the whole picture. As we say, we see only, you see only the surface. You have to see the inside. Bezrat Hashem, let us learn a little lesson from this to how to judge people and how to try and look not only on the outside, but also in the inside. And the best thing is that we have now a little brighter picture about what's happening with this blessing. Shkoyach.